Hello, everyone, and welcome to Million Dollar Decorating, the only podcast devoted to the worlds of design, decorating, and beautiful living. I'm your host, James Swan, and I am thrilled to have you subscribing to the show today. Remember to head over to our website, milliondollardecorating.com, where you can learn more about our family of design enthusiasts, add your name to our email list, then follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and on Instagram. You'll be part of all the great things that we have going on. And the really great thing that's happening right now is that I get to introduce you to our guest today. She is the founder and owner of her namesake interior design firm and is fast becoming one of Manhattan's rising design stars. Best known for creating livable, unique spaces by blending styles into a cohesive, one-of-a-kind look, she prides herself on bringing her clients' visions to life. At an early age, she was inspired by the hunt for unique design pieces, accompanying her mother, also a designer, to flea markets and antique stores in East Texas. She knew early on the value of a diamond in the rough. Today, her diamonds in the roughs are vintage pieces from the past, which she incorporates into her projects. Her impressive and quickly growing roster of clients can be found all over Manhattan, Connecticut, and the Hamptons. Turns out, she's a busy lady, making the world more beautiful. Ashley Darrell, welcome to Million Dollar Decorating.
Hi, thank you for having me.
It's great to have you with us today, Ashley. So take us back and tell us about those early days in East Texas. What was it like falling in love with design at that
boy. Early age? Well, as you know, my mother was a designer, or is a designer, and I saw what she was doing, and I used to literally rearrange my bedroom once a week, like moving furniture around, moving accessories around, and she would take me to flea markets once in a while, and I'd buy a little trinket here, a little trinket there. I started collecting majolica. Obviously, everything was, you know, chipped or whatnot, so I could actually afford it when I was like 8 years old, between like 8 and 15. So I have a little majolica plate that has a little crack in it on the edge, or a little corn pitcher that has a scratch on it. And I actually still have all those pieces, and obviously have been able to collect more as I get older and have perfect pieces. And I look back and I'm like, those were only like $10. Wow.
What treasures.
What treasures. So I literally would go to the flea markets and collect all these things. And when I arranged my room every week, I would move these things around. And I was very proud of them. None of my friends did that. They like did stuff outside, like regular kids.
So did you ever have a moment growing up where you thought, I'm going to rebel against my mom and I'm going to go be a doctor or a lawyer or something like that?
Oh, no, never. No. I was gung-ho. I never knew that I wanted to be an interior designer, but I knew I wanted to be in the art world. I actually thought I was going to be like a gallery owner or some sort of museum curator, something of that nature. So when I went to school, I actually took art history classes and studio art classes versus going to interior design school. So I wasn't educated in any sort of design until I went to Sotheby's for grad school, and I learned more about furniture and the different periods and art and silver and ceramics and all those sorts of things. But never educated actually in interior design other than for my mother.
Oh, how interesting.
Yeah.
So what was the turning point then for you? What was that like?
So when I went to Sotheby's, we actually had, they offered a program where you could go for 1 week somewhere in the city. They had a list of people you could choose from, and it was like an art gallery or learning at the museum or an interior designer. So I actually chose, I don't know why, to work with an interior designer. His name is actually Richard Keith Langham. And I worked for him for a week, and I absolutely loved it. And then when I got out of school, I started working for a couple interior designers, and that was it.
You were hooked.
I was hooked. I loved it. Just, I love the feeling of creating something for someone else. And it's kind of like a piece of art. Like, it's magical. It's like you're an artist.
So what was it like stepping out on your own at the beginning? That Sounds like it could be kind of scary.
It was really scary. I worked for Jeff Lincoln Interiors for 6 years. And when I was working for him, I just decided to help a friend out with his place. So when I was working for Jeff, I was kind of on the weekends, I was working for my friend and creating his space and decorating it. And I realized this isn't so bad. I can totally do this. It's just a matter of finding clients. So once I did his place, I photographed it and I put it on a website. And then his friends started asking who decorated. So then I worked for one of his friends. And then it just trickled on from there. And that's how it started. It just sounds takes like those few couple people to say yes.
Exactly. And then you don't ever turn back, right? You just keep moving forward.
And obviously, if you have your own place to decorate, that's also really easy too.
Of course.
So you just photograph it.
Does your place become a bit of a laboratory then for your designs?
Boy. So my place is decorated, but it's full of delicious things. Lots of inventory. So when I see something at a flea market or whatnot, I can't resist, if it's a good price, to pick it up. So I have collections of goodies everywhere. So when I have a photo shoot, I bring it over and the client wants it all. I say, great. I don't have to take it home.
Sold. Yeah.
Sold.
That's a great way to do it. So what projects are you working on right now that you're particularly happy about?
I am finishing up on a project in Dumbo. It's in a new building that has the most incredible windows, and I'm beyond excited. My client is amazing. She's been such a pleasure to work with, super easy, on the same page with me. It's funny because it's in Brooklyn, so you're in the city, but you're not in the city. So it's like you want to create a space that feels warm and cozy, but also still, you know, it's in the city. We're not out in the country or in the suburbs.
Right.
So I had to kind of think about that, you know, on a different level, as making this space feel city, but also comfortable because they have kids. And I wanted to make sure that it still felt elegant and comfortable at the same time. Right. So it's a lot of creams and silvery blues and wood. Wood is always important for me to make sure it feels warm and not cold. Too much metal makes it feel cold. So I have blackened steel everywhere for curtain rods and light fixtures, and then wood accents to warm it up and whatnot. So that's one of my exciting projects. And then I have another one that I just started, a gut renovation on 68th Street, that is going to be super fun, but haven't really started that yet. So I don't know where it's going, but it definitely is going somewhere good.
So do you find, Ashley, that the clients that are coming to you come with preset ideas about what they want their spaces to look like? Or have they seen the work that you've done and they say, okay, I want that for my house? Or are they just coming with a blank slate and are willing to explore and see what develops?
I've never had someone say, there's a project on your website and I want it to look like that. I do have people say, there's many things on your portfolio that I like, but nothing specifically like full on. Okay. So I actually, when I start with a client, I'll actually show them inspiration images of many designers that I love and admire. And I tell them to circle an X, things they like and don't like in each photo. And that really shows me what direction we're going in. But I'll never take on a client that I don't think I can, you know, create the look for them. So I kind of look at what they're after before I say yes, because I would never want to take on someone and then not be able to, you know, pull through and
to deliver,
create that. Yeah. Exactly.
So you're interviewing them as they're interviewing you.
Absolutely.
Love it. I love it. So when you think about the work that you have right now that's keeping you busy, what is it about the work you're doing that you love the most, Ashley?
As I mentioned before, I love being the artist and creating something special. So making a client feel good in their own home that someone else decorated is most important to me. And making them happy and feel like it is their home is like the icing on my cake. Like, that's what makes it feel good to me. I can walk away from that project, photograph it, and it's part of my portfolio and something I'll have forever, that even if it's disassembled, you know, in a year, I'll always have it. And that's me. That's my art. And they're comfortable and confident and excited to show their friends, you know, what they're living in.
Right. That's got to feel very, very, very good.
Yes.
What do you hear from your clients in the way of requests these days? Are you finding shifts in what people are expecting from their interiors that maybe is slightly different from when you first began?
Yeah, I have more clients with kids, so I'm doing a lot more Scotch guarding. I'm doing a lot more round edges and a lot more extended dining tables, which are impossible to find a good one. If you go out there and look for an extension dining table that goes from, you know, from 8 people to 12 people, it's like torture because you see the same ones over and over, like looking, you want more options. So I really find I'm working more for families versus bachelors, which is great. And I'm doing different things for them versus what I used to do, for sure.
And that's got to be fun for you, right?
Yeah, always changing things up is definitely exciting because doing the same thing over and over for me is not, doesn't get me up in the morning and get me excited.
That's fair. Now, when there are the things in our business that we love the most, if you flip that coin over, sometimes there are challenges, things that we don't love quite so much. Talk to us a little bit about that. How do you navigate when things are more challenging in your business?
So some of the challenging things that I've come across is, I guess I would say, well, first of all, if we are just going to be frank here, dealing with these vendors and getting stuff back and forth to them is probably torture. Like buying a coffee table and trying to get it back to a vendor that's not you're not close with. If you're close with the vendor, great. They're all over it and they help you. If you're not close with the vendor and you're working with someone for the first time, I've emailed someone maybe 30 times to try and get my refund back on something that they've picked up, and it's pure torture. I can't understand how they do their business like that. So that is something super challenging to me. The other challenging things are just having a list, an endless list that never gets finished, you know, with every client until that day comes. You're just checking off the lists, just check, check, check until it gets finished and whittled down to nothing for each client. I think that's daunting sometimes. And you can give those tasks to, you know, various people to get done for you. But sometimes you just want to get it done yourself and make it happen. And it's much quicker to get it done when you're doing when you're doing it by yourself. But yeah, I would say those two things are my main things.
Okay, that's all fair. Our listeners tune in. I'm always curious to learn about the histories and the background of our guests. But they're also curious to pick up tips and ideas that they can apply to their own homes, Ashley. Any thoughts for our listeners at home, if you were to speak directly to them for a moment? Things to look out for, mistakes to avoid, things definitely to do in their home to make their homes more beautiful?
Well, I always like to avoid trendy things, things that are on trend right now, because I swear when we do trendy things, it goes out of style in 6 months, in 2 years, and the client comes back, let's redo this. It's not cool anymore. And that's why I'm like, yes, I would like to do classic things, something that will be timeless, that will live forever. And my other, I would really say that color palette running throughout the home is so important. Even if all your pieces don't make sense, the styles are across the board, and maybe some of them don't really work well together, having a color palette run throughout the house. Maybe it's all blues and grays and whites and creams, and then touches of orange in one room and touches of green and pink with blue in another room. Having a specific color run throughout the home is really important because it really ties everything and creates a cohesive look. Although maybe the furniture doesn't make sense, the color palette would. And that's something very easy for anyone to understand and work with.
Yeah, that seems very manageable for any homeowner.
Mm-hmm.
Good tip. Thank you very much for that.
Yeah.
Did you apply that that type of thinking on your own space?
Yeah, I did. And I only started realizing this recently. So this is not something I learned or was told. I started doing a little bit here and there. And then I realized when I was photographing the apartments and I was looking at each room side by side, I realized, oh, those two rooms have blue in them, but they don't look the same. They have other colors. And I realized I'm going to start doing that on all my projects where one or two of the colors really goes throughout, but then mixing other colors with them in each room to create each room to be special and not be all blue or all gray.
Right.
So just a touch, one or two colors running throughout with different colors, you know, maybe as pops with them, I think is really important. And that's just something I've learned recently and have started doing and I really like.
So can you tell us about the color palette at your home?
The color palette at my home. So I realized that I love cream, blues and greens, grays, and black and brown. So my house, the living room, has a chocolate sofa, has cream chairs, has a Holland and Sherry taupey window pane, wingback chair, blue, gray, and black rug that's very washed out. So it's not, those colors aren't intense. And then kind of a mossy green and cream wall color. Mm-hmm. Moldings and wall colors. So it's very warm and inviting. And that runs throughout with just little pops of color in the other bedroom areas.
Do you have a favorite corner in the house that you love the most?
I have a favorite corner. It's in my living room. It has a gilt mirror for my grandmother and a antique marble table underneath with some cotton balls in an old French olive jar, cotton balls on the stick.
Sure.
With some accessories underneath, and it is is absolutely my favorite part of the living room.
Nice. So what would our listeners be surprised to find in your home, Ashley?
Maybe they'd be surprised to see I have a lot of plants. I have plants in every room. I find having plants is like bringing the indoor or the outdoor in. And living in the city is not always easy because you just see concrete outside your windows. So having a little bit of green here and there is amazing. And even at my house upstate, I have green everywhere, plants, trees, everything you could imagine. It just feels like the room has another element, like a soothing element to it that makes it feel finished.
There is something very calming about being surrounded by beautiful greenery. And it sounds like you don't discriminate. You don't just select one species and run with that. You've got a wide variety.
Have a little bit of everything and see what, you know, see what you can take care of because a lot will die.
Oh, there you go.
And
yeah.
I've found my niche of which plants I can keep alive and which I can't.
An important thing to know.
Exactly.
Let's think for a moment then, Ashley, about a designer style hero that you might have. Someone whose work and career has greatly influenced you. Might be living, they might be deceased, but if you had an opportunity to hang out with them for an hour or so, tell us who you'd pick and why.
Ooh, that's a tough one. Just off the top of my head, I would say I learned so much about artists and art at Sotheby's that Jackson Pollock is definitely someone that I have several books on that I learned a lot about. And to sit with him and just look at his shoes to see if he has paint all over his shoes, that would be such a dream. That would be so much fun.
Love it. Checking out Jackson Pollock shoes.
Right, exactly.
So, Ashley, you've got a great career off and running. Great things are happening now. We certainly expect great things in the future. What's out there on the horizon for you? Something that you have your eye on in the way of a professional goal or objective that you're working towards? Maybe it hasn't materialized yet, but mm-hmm. you're working and moving in that direction.
I think what my goal is to be working with a great client that has a budget, but it's not tight, and that I can really do anything. So create anything, because budget really does, deter you from being able to do anything you want, anything you see that you would want to show to a client. And having the flexibility of being able to present anything to a client, custom things, something that you dream of at night, that you draw in the middle of the night while you're sleeping on a pad next to your bed. I would love to be able to just do something that was really special that I'm not having to hold back on. I would love to be able to do anything and create anything and make something just exactly like my dreams would be, if that makes any sense.
It does, very much so. And we around here believe that when you put something like that out into the universe has a way of delivering it back to you. So we expect that to happen for you, and we'll celebrate when it does.
Oh, great.
What's the best decorating advice you've ever come across, Ashley?
Oh, this is a good one. Trust your gut. If your gut says it's wrong, it is wrong. Don't let your client tell you otherwise, because I have in the past let a client say, no, let's do this. So I let them do that, because at some point you can't say to a client every time, no, this is what we're doing. Right. So you let them have a little here and there. And I knew in my gut that it didn't feel right, although, I was hoping it would come in and it would be great. And it comes in and I'm not happy with it. The client's not happy with it. And I should have just put my foot down and said, it doesn't feel right.
Right.
So that is definitely my advice. Trust your gut. Whatever it says, do it.
Done. You've already touched on trends and how you feel about them a little earlier in our mm-hmm. chat. But if there's one trend that you could pick that you'd be really happy to see go by the wayside, which one would it be, Ashley?
I'm honestly really over all the patterns, like the zigzags and the herringbone. I'm ready for like something new. Like let's move away from that. Although I love herringbone on wood floors, I could do that every day, all day. I'm looking for something new. I want to do something different. Let's switch it up.
There you go.
Yeah.
On the hunt again, right?
On the hunt again. Being on the hunt is great, because you just want to switch it up and do something unique and different for everyone.
And that's a good thing, without a doubt. Let's do a hypothetical here. We pray it never happens, but if there was a fire at the house tonight, loved ones, animals, they're all safe. Mm-hmm. But what's the one object in your home, Ashley, that you would risk the flames to save?
Oh, that's an easy one. Family heirlooms, old photos and jewelry, grab those and get out. Leave the computer, leave everything else. All that stuff can be purchased again.
There you go. Mm-hmm. Very practical approach. Keep the valuables, the truly valuable stuff.
Yeah, they may not be valuable to anyone else, but they're valuable to me.
Of course. And that makes them priceless.
Right.
Are you a book lover, Ashley?
I am. I have a coffee table book collection.
Well, good.
Do I read them? Maybe. Do I look at the photos? Yes.
That's half the battle with those books.
Right.
The delight is in the photographs. Give us a book recommendation then. Pick one book that you think needs to be on the bookshelf of every design lover who's listening.
Well, I love me a good, cool hotel book. There's several of them, and they're big and fat, and they always have great looking covers. And they're really interesting to look at too. Like, who doesn't want to look at cool hotels across the world.
Flights of fancy, right?
Right.
Good pick. Good pick. Yeah. We'll do some research. We'll pull some titles and add a few to the show notes section so our listeners can click on those, add them to their library, and thank you for those for pointing us in that direction.
Of course.
Ashley, we've come down to the last question. Can you believe that?
No, I can't. It's been flying by.
Time does go fast. We end every show with the same question, so let me paint a picture for you and then get your thoughts. Imagine that you woke up tomorrow morning in a brand new world. It's physically identical to the Earth that you know, but you don't know a soul. You still have all the experience and the knowledge you currently possess. Your food and shelter are taken care of, but your new home is empty. All you have is a laptop, a mobile phone, and about $1,000 in your pocket. What would you do over the next 7 days to begin to decorate your new home?
Am I allowed to go to stores, or do I have to do everything on my laptop?
No, you can go anywhere you'd like.
Okay. I would go to Housing Works and Home Goods, buy a bunch of furniture, and then I'd go to Home Depot, buy some paint, and I'd go to Michael's and buy some crafts. For example, if I was going to Michael's, I would grab some of that grosgrain ribbon to wrap around like the edge of lampshades to make them special. And the paint would be in case I need to paint a piece of furniture, maybe a different color. But that's definitely what I would do. And I've even done some of that stuff for myself and clients.
So you're familiar with this, Jerelle?
Oh, yeah. Been there, done that.
Easy. Daryl's got that. Ashley's got this one handled. Not a problem.
Of course.
I love it. Ashley, Daryl, what a joy getting to speak with you today. Thanks for your time.
Thank you.
We want to say thanks to our subscribers who tune in to the show every day. None of this means anything without you. So thanks for participating, for being consistent in listening and sharing news about the show with your friends. That helps us to grow, and that's important. We appreciate it. We want to remind you to go over to the website, milliondollardecorating.com, where you can catch the notes from today's show. We'll post a link to Ashley's website, where you can follow all the great things that she is involved in. We'll post a link to some hotel books, fascinating subject that she's pointed us in the direction of. Spend some time over this coming weekend leafing through those, and I know that you'll be appreciative to her of that recommendation. While you're on our site, click a few buttons, follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and on Instagram. And finally, and most importantly, remember that it's up to you to make your world more beautiful.